You're listening to Community Radio, CKMS, Radio Waterloo, 102.7, 946 on the Rogers Digital Network. You can find us at...
You're listening to CKMS. FM 102.7 Radio Waterloo. My name is Bob Jonkman. This is CKMS Community Connections. Today is Monday, May the 10th, 2021. Hope to have Peter Snow from the Soviet Influence in with us in, a few minutes. In the meantime, I want to listen to some of their music. This is Plant the Bombs from their new album called Abolition Now. Soviet influence. And a song called Plant the Bombs from their new album called Abolition Now. And I've got Peter Snow on the line. Good morning, Peter. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well, Bob. How are you?
Pretty good, thanks. Good to have you back in the studio. You were here, about a year ago?
Yeah, it's been about a year, yeah.
And what have you been up to since then?
Well, there's been a pandemic, so didn't get through that. But our band has been hard at work. We've recorded a lot of music last year somehow. And yeah, that's been the main thing, and obviously doing life stuff. But
we've
actually been able to get a lot done despite the restrictions and the challenges of that.
You've recorded a bunch of albums because you released something back in January as well.
We did. We released an album called Socialism and Introduction. Mm-hmm. That was all recorded in the first probably 4 or 5 months of the pandemic. So from March on till about July, we basically, you know, we recorded a bunch of stuff, sent it off to a friend of mine, producer David Partridge, and he mixed it up. And we were sitting on it for a while because we thought, you know, maybe things will get better with the pandemic and we'll be able to actually, like, you know, do shows and do a whole thing. But that looked like that wasn't going to happen anytime soon. So we thought, well, we better actually release this. So it's kind of thematically about, you know, ideas around supporting mutual support and sort of critiques of the economic structure that we live in, things like that. So was that album.
And it seems like there's been a progression in the statements that you're making with your music over time. I mean, it's you know, things were nice and lyrical and musical to start with, and you know, the word sort of washed over you from the earlier albums you released, but that's not the case anymore. What happened?
Yeah, no, I think we got, I mean, the world is increasingly the challenges are getting more and more desperate, right? So climate change obviously being a big one, but you know, just I think as a group, we sort of decided, like, if we're going to do this, if we're going to be sort of a outspoken band, then we need to be outspoken. So we really leaned into that kind of messaging. And it's working well for us. Like, I like it. I like writing songs that way. I've been enjoying it. And I think, yeah, it gives us a real space that we occupy, I think. You know, we're not sort of wandering about trying to figure out what we're about. We know what we're about. And we're being very open about it and very direct about it. And that, all four of us in the group are all really, that's kind of who we are. So it really fits for us very, very well.
How's the reception of the new Soviet influence been? How's
your... It's been great, actually. People have really responded well. You know, I think a lot of people like music that has a message to it. And you know, we don't write... Not that we couldn't, or we, you know, that it's bad to do this, but we don't write sort of, you know, love songs and breakup songs and all those sorts of things. That's not really our thing. And I think, you know, there's space for that. And the reception we've gotten, like, as we've gotten more outspoken on particular issues, it's opened doors for us. Like, we've connected with more opportunities and more people because of it. You know, and I think it's because it helps us stand out a bit, right? Like, it's something that we're doing specifically that other people aren't necessarily doing in the same way.
You've got something... Yeah. On the Land Back Lane album. Can you tell us about that? How did that come about? Tell me what Land Back Lane is all about in the first place.
Absolutely. So I hope, you know, if your listeners know about what's been going on, Caledonia, the town of Caledonia and the Six Nations Reserve, which is right there, have had longstanding disputes about land use that have, you know, culminated in a couple of, so there was the Douglas Creek Estates situation that happened a few years ago, and this most recent situation where essentially a group of local you know, indigenous people basically said, you know, this we don't like the way this land's being used, this is, you know, this should be our land historically, and the treaties, and you know, mm-hmm. and get too much into the nuance of that, but essentially they took a stand, and our government spent something like, was they just came out like $9 million or something policing that, or maybe it's more than that, over the last year. Something absurd. But anyway, people that are there, the land defenders, they're called, and then they've created this space called 1492 Land Back Lane. It's sort of what they've named, you know, their area they've carved out. And you know, there's a musician or a band from London, Ontario, who wanted to raise money for them because they need supplies, they need, you know, things to help them support themselves. They put a call out, and we happened to be connected to them, and we're like, yeah, we'd love to be part of that. This is a really important issue to us. You know, we've been following along with what's been going on in BC. There were the railroad blockades last year. We were, you know, supportive of that. And so we want to be part of that. So we managed to to get on that and be part of it. And it was really exciting for us because we've, you know, increasingly wanting to be part of, you know, our music being used for things that are building a better society versus, you know, just for our own purposes.
Yeah.
So that was a good opportunity for us. And a lot of local, like there were a ton of Ontario bands that were on that. So that was mm-hmm. really cool to see how many people sort of stepped up and said, hey, I want to be part of this.
Yeah, there was a live concert too, I think. They did something online on Facebook.
Yeah, they did do like a concert thing. We weren't part of that, but they did do something.
Okay. Yeah. I'll have a link to the concert in the show notes, radiowaterloo.ca/CCC. So those folks who missed it, including me, can catch up on that later. So what did you actually produce for them, for the Land Back
Way? We had a song. It's called These Chains, and it's a song about, really at its heart, it's a song about, you know, sort of waking up to what's going on in the world. You know, I think for a lot of people, it's really easy to, and I see this all the time, I have these conversations with people, and it's, you know, to just kind of accept the status quo as it is when you're comfortable. Like for a lot of people, it's really easy just to be like, well, things are fine. You know, I mean, the pandemic standing obviously, but like generally, and I wrote that, you know, in the early days of the pandemic when we all thought it was probably not going to be, we didn't think we'd be here. I don't think.
Yeah.
You know, and I wasn't really thinking about the pandemic. I was thinking more about sort of broadly like the world, you know, the tendency when you're in a comfortable spot to just be like, well, you know, if I'm comfortable, then things are probably fine. And this song was really about like, no, things aren't fine. There's all kinds of things actually happening and have been for a very long time that we've just ignored more or less. And I felt like it really fit with 1492 Land Back because, you know, my knowledge of sort of Indigenous issues with the government of Canada and the people of Canada, you know, really goes back to, you know, hearing about like Oka and Ipperwash back in the 90s. And I was young then, I was just a kid and a teenager, but, you know, was aware of what was going on a little bit. And then going to school as a social worker, so I'm a social worker, and, you know, taking classes on, okay, what's actually life like for Indigenous people in Canada and learning about all that. That was an awakening for me. And, you know, I think but I was also surrounded by people who had no concept of that, no concept of like what's going on for Indigenous people in Canada. You know, very skewed views, very heavily influenced by, you know, borderline and openly racist ideas, that really didn't understand like the history and the situation. So, you know, and I grew up with that, so around me. So for me, it was very eye-opening to learn more and really understand the heart of the matter. So yeah, so that song's kind of about that, and I thought it fit pretty well with what they're talking about.
They're not specifically written for the Land Back Lane issue, but it encompasses all that.
No, that one wasn't. But then I ended up writing a song called 2 Weeks, which is specifically about the way the government treats Indigenous people's claims, basically by, you know, saying, yeah, here's a solution, but it's a half solution and it doesn't do anything. And it's past the point where, and it's like the water issue, right? They keep saying, oh, we're going to fix the water issue and all the on all the season of water, and they never fix it.
Shall we have a quick listen to These Chains and then chat a bit more, and we'll get 2 weeks in there as well. This is These Chains, the Soviet Influence, which appears on the 1492 Land Back album. Traffic. Soviet influence. That was Oh No, Not Tonight, something that Peter Snow actually recommended to us to play off as the starting track on the show, which I didn't do, of course. So, Peter, can you tell me a little bit about Oh No, Not Tonight?
Yeah, that song. I mean, I love that song. If I can say that about my own song, I love that song. It was one, you know, I work, my day job is in mental health treatment. I'm a therapist, and also someone who's had my own life issues with my mental health. And, you know, people get, you know, really isolated. And Oh No, Not Tonight's really about not being isolated. It's about, like, feeling isolated, but reaching out to someone. And I didn't realize this until just actually this week, funny enough. I wrote that song last summer, but I realized this week that the song was actually inspired by somebody. So a long time ago, when I was much younger, I had a really, really bad end to a relationship. And there was a night where I was feeling just totally terrible and didn't know what to do. And I logged onto the internet, and someone that I was sort of friends with, didn't know very well, happened to be on their computer. And we started talking, and she was helpful and really supportive. And then that person ended up becoming one of my close friends. And just the fact that she was there, like, it was totally random that she was there. And so I'd say it's kind of about that. It's just like that reaching out to find someone, get someone, get close to someone. The thing I love about it, besides the message, is just that it's just a really, like, rocking song. And it lets me, like, the chorus is, like, super loud. I get to sing really loud, and it's always fun. So I like that part of it as well. And yeah, and that's one that when we sent it away to be mixed was like, just this song. And then it was mixed and it came back and it was like, whoa, like Dave, who's the guy who did did an amazing job and just turned it into this like really powerful song. And it of all the songs we've ever written, it's the most streamed, it's been the most well received, most popular. So it's kind of cool that way too. It has a special place right now anyway. It's sort of getting over to that next step for us, I think.
So you sent it out to be mixed. Hang on a second here. You say you sent it out to be mixed.
Yeah.
What does that mean? How do you collect stuff in the first place to have something to send out? How does this work?
Yeah, absolutely. So in the old days, what you would have done is you would have gone to a studio or I have a home studio and had everybody come in and record their parts, and then you would mix it and whatever. With COVID, what happens is everybody records things at their own houses as best they can. I collect all of it together, put it into I use software called Reaper, put it all together, get everything like in time together, and then extract each track, each piece of the track. So like, you know, guitar, or vocal, bass, you know, kick drum, snare drum. And then I send all that to, in this case, David Partridge, who operates a Helm recording. He just moved up. He used to be out of Oakville. Now he's moved up north and up there. But then he takes the track and then puts it together and you know, fixes everything and makes it sound good. Because when he gets it, it's very like just like everything is, you know, at the same volume and it's all very flat, and he just does his magic. And it's night and day. Like listening to the demo versions of songs and then hearing what an actual professional producer can do is just boggles my mind. It's you wouldn't believe, like, you can't believe it's the same thing.
Yeah.
So especially in the digital era, right? So
So when you and the other band members deliver to you their tracks, is it separate recordings for the vocals, separate recordings for the guitar, multiple tracks for the different drums that might be used there? When introduce your band while we're talking about that, who's in Soviet influence?
Oh yeah, so we're I'm Peter Snow, obviously. I'm the singer and I play guitar. We have Peter Morey, who's our bass player. Mm-hmm. His brother Blake Morey, and Peter was in studio with me last time
he came on.
And Blake Morey, his brother, is our drummer, and then Ty McKenzie is our newest member. He joined us right before the pandemic hit last year, and he plays guitar. That's the four of us. And we're sort of spread out. So Blake and Peter are in Kitchener. I live in Halton Hills, and Ty lives in Milton. So right. We form a little bit of a triangle. And we've all been in bands. Like, Peter and Blake are younger. Ty and I are around the same age, around our 30s. But we've all been in bands for years, and just sort of found ourselves through the internet. That's kind of one way to find band members these days. So I found Blake, and then Blake had Peter with him. So we brought him on board, and then we found Ty along the way, who was looking for a new band, and he really liked our music and liked what we were doing, and we liked him, so it was a good match.
Right, right. And then you said you send it out to studio, so plug for the studio.
So it's Helm Recording. Yeah, Helm Recording, H-E-L-M. They have a website. I know David's looking for people right now. I mean, you can imagine, right, for recording studios, it's been a tough year.
Yeah.
Because with lockdowns and things, you can't have people coming in. So, you know, it's been a tough year for anyone in that business. Anyone in music in general, it's been a hard year. And performance opportunities obviously haven't really existed that much. And so it's been that's where most musicians make most of their music, most of their money. So it's been a tough year for a lot of people. I have a lot of friends who were on the way up trajectory wise, getting bigger and bigger audiences when the pandemic hit, and then all of a sudden no shows.
Yeah.
So no more momentum, right? So it's really sad for that.
Exactly. Have you been doing video production as well? Did you release a video recently?
We put out, yeah, so Road Not Tonight, I made a video, actually in this room.
Yes, I've actually seen you, and that's not the only video you've been producing. You've been producing little vignettes of social commentary.
Yeah.
We'll get to that in a bit.
Totally.
So I recognize the room.
Yeah, this is my, so this is one of the byproducts of the pandemic. I needed somewhere to work at home. So I had a shed. This used to be my shed, and spent a bit of time and sort of turned it into a home office / music space, which has been really great because I've been able to work from here. I'm very fortunate that the work can move online. So I've been able to continue on and haven't had any interruption in my employment as a result. But I like it a lot. It's very rustic, as you can tell. the walls are all plywood, just painted. Yeah. But you know, it's cozy. It's nice.
Not acoustically ideal for recording music, perhaps.
Not perfect, but it does the job. You know, and with now a digital recorder, you can fix everything pretty much. You know, as long as you get a decent sound inside, it sounds okay at the start. You can fix it. I mean, and we practice in here. I mean, it's only 9x12. It's small, but we actually, when things were opened enough that we could have practices again and we couldn't practice outside because it was winter, early winter, we had a couple of practices in here, and it's tight and loud, but we fit. So I anticipate, we'll be doing that. But in the summertime last year, we just practiced outside. You know, I'm in the country, so we can spread out, and not disturb too many neighbors.
Yes.
It's another luxury.
Yes, that's definitely a benefit. Speaking of countryside, we have on the line with us as well, Jeff Steger from the Agriculture Show. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, Bob. Good morning, Peter.
Morning, Bob. Hi, Jeff.
Good to have you on board here as well. You mentioned earlier, before the last musical break, you'd written something else called 2 Weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, 2 Weeks is, we wrote that song, I mentioned this last time I was on, we wrote that song at a show because people wanted an encore and we had run out of songs.
Oh.
So I just started playing something and the band just joined in with me.
Okay.
And lyrically, it was nonsense and doesn't resemble what it is now, but musically, it's pretty much the same. It ended up being a song about sort of the way that our government, at least here in Canada and in the U.S. as well, I think, sort of approaches issues with marginalized groups, but specifically Indigenous people, and sort of says, well, it was a problem before. It's not a problem anymore. We're going to fix it. And then they don't actually fix it. Or they offer a solution that's really not helpful or useful to anyone. And we've seen that in a lot of places, in a lot of, I don't know if you've ever seen the Truth and Reconciliation Call to Arms that came out of that. A lot of the stuff in there has not been done or done in any kind of effective way. So it's one thing to publish a nice little book with all your ideas in it. It's another thing to actually act. So that sounds about that, and so the way people are willing to ignore stuff, like the fact that, there's a large number of Indigenous communities that don't have clean water. That would never fly. If Limehouse, where I live, didn't have clean water, there would be hell to pay.
Let me tell you a personal story here. I live in Elmira, just north of Waterloo. And back in, 1989 or so, they discovered some groundwater contamination. They had a pipeline in here within a couple of years, a huge pipeline pumping water in from Waterloo. No problem. So, government is spending lots of money on pipelines. They're the wrong kind and going to the wrong places and carrying the wrong material.
Some water pipelines. So. Yeah, same here, right? They're talking about new development in Georgetown because they want to get water from the lake. And if they build a new development in Georgetown, they can pull in water from Milton, the street from the lake. Right. Because we're running out of water because there's only so much groundwater.
Yeah.
But political will is there, then the solution gets found.
Yes.
Exactly. But when there's no, when people don't care enough and it's, or the group's not important enough, then stuff doesn't happen. So.
And when the target population tends to be non-voters, different nation, nation to nation stuff, but not necessarily voting for the current government. There's just not the will to act by the politicians. It takes some sort of it takes a moral stand by the politicians to make this happen. And I'm not seeing that.
Absolutely. Well, plus they can get away with saying they're going to do something and not doing something because people will forget.
Yes.
Like, oh, they said they were going to fix that. So for most people, they'll just like, well, they said they were going to do it, so I guess they did it.
Yeah.
And they don't go any further to look into it to see if anything actually happened.
And that's why activism is so important. Keep that front of mind.
Yep.
2 weeks is on an EP called This Band Is So God, which I thought was a typo. Tell me a bit about that.
Should I explain that title?
Yes, please.
My 7-year-old son started a band himself at the beginning of the pandemic, and he called it This Band Is So God. And I just thought that was such a clever, like, I don't even know where he got the idea to call it that. That's just what he called it. And I was like, I'm stealing that from you.
Yeah.
Because it's just such a weird phrase. I just love it. I don't know.
Yeah.
So, that's what we ended up, we took that because it was his little 7-year-old. He had a band. He wrote songs. He did shows at home for the band. Like, it was a whole thing. Oh. It was great.
Keep it up. I mean, if any of that has made it to digital recordings, fire some towards CKMS, and I'm quite sure that we'll find some spot on the air to play that. There you go.
Awesome.
Music
awesome.
And locally produced music is what community radio is all about. So let's have a quick listen to 2 weeks, and when I come back, I want to take a bit of a station break because we're in the middle of our funding drive, and so I want to talk to you and to Jeff about community radio and how we can keep community radio going. So, listening to 2 weeks from the album, the EP called This Band Is So God by the Soviet Influence.
And they'll wait till there's not judge in the same way as courts of law. They do not hand down sentences. They throw thunderbolts. They do not condemn kings. They drop them back into the void. And this justice is worth just as much as that of the courts.
Soviet influence called 2 weeks. Peter Snow on the line, got Jeff Steger on the line. Welcome. This is EKMS Community Connections. We're recording from our remote studios. So I'm out in Studio North. Peter's out in Studio East, and I guess Jeff's out in Studio South. The pandemic has really put a crimp in a lot of different activities. And you say you've not had nearly as many, no live gigs at all, of course. Have you been doing anything remote, Facebook Live, YouTube Live, as paying gigs? Has that worked for you?
Yeah, we did a bit. In the beginning of the pandemic, we were able to do a bit of that. Then we got, in the summer, we did like a paid video thing that this company in Hamilton was doing. We haven't had much lately because we've sort of been focusing on finishing up the music we've been recording and also doing a lot of social media stuff. I can excitedly say we're working with a very small record label in the UK about releasing a song over there.
Ooh.
With some promotion. So we'll see what that leads to.
Excellent.
I'm not sure yet, but it's up in the air. Yeah. And I guess the other thing I'll just quickly, if I can plug something really quickly, that will be a show, is in August we're doing we're organizing a compilation, another compilation, to raise money for the Toronto Prisoner Right Toronto Prisoner Rights Project, which is a project of mutual aid to support people who are incarcerated or not, who are recently out. Anyway, doing a compilation, and we're going to do a big live stream thing for that in August with a bunch of bands, which is in the works. But I don't have a lot of details yet, so I'll share them with you, Bob, once I know more about it.
Okay.
But that's something that's in the works as well.
The album cover you sent me for the new album, Abolition Now, is covered with different groups and URLs and things that need support. Can you run down some of those? Prisoner Rights was one of them.
Prisoner Rights. So like I said, they're doing this mutual aid thing where they basically offer small grants of about $250 to people who are either in jail or recently out of jail who need support in different ways. They've raised about $100,000+, but they need $300,000 more to meet all of the requests they've received. That's sort of the situation. Black Lives Matter, Canada and Toronto specifically, we support their work around police, changes to policing in Ontario and Canada broadly, and also around, anti-racism kind of work they're doing. And then the other two agencies, PASAN and Prison Justice, are also working in that sort of criminal justice change area, which is something that also really matters to us. The prisoner rights thing, our bass player, Peter, that's one of his big causes. Uh-huh. So he was very interested in that. I come into the sort of police reform area from the mental health side, so wanting to see great changes the way that's done, but also recognizing the other impacts from the other side around justice faced by many communities from policing. So that's kind of how that came about. And with that album, any money we make streaming it, or pretty much streaming it, because we're not really selling it, we're giving to those different groups, and we're asking people to just donate to them on their own without involving us at all, because we think it's really important. So we just want to elevate, along with our music, we want to elevate causes that matter to us and sort of give them more visibility.
Exactly.
So that's been pretty
helpful. I'll provide a link to all those organizations in the show notes as well, radiowaterloo.ca/ccc, and you'll be able to click on the link and follow through on that. Speaking of fundraising, however, CKMS itself is in need of funds as well. We've been hit by the pandemic as well. There's a lot of programmers who aren't able to do their shows because the studio is closed. The studio's been closed for, what, 4 months now, 5 months. And the way that CKMS works is it's a cooperative venture. Members who join Radio Waterloo have the ability to do programming on the air, and they pay for that opportunity. It's you know, $30 for an hour show a week, $30 a month for an hour show a week. But when the studio is closed, what are programmers going to do? We've been fortunate in getting a small grant to get some remote live-to-air kits. And so you know, some of the programmers have taken those and have recorded their shows remotely. I'm doing my darndest to try and do a live show remotely, but it's difficult. And we saw a decided drop in our income and in our programming fees from programmers who just weren't able to carry on. And so we're reliant in a large part on donations. And this is our fundraising week. We're hoping to raise $1,000 for the radio station. And I think a good portion of that money is going to go to studio upgrades. We're in the Beamer Box building in downtown Kitchener. It's an old building, and ventilation is not great. As we know now, the pandemic, the coronavirus, has largely spread through aerosol transmission, which you know lingers in the air. The studio is a small space. It's even smaller than your studio, Peter. And so we want to get some professionally installed HVAC stuff in there, heating, ventilation, air conditioning, to actually move air through the studio so that it becomes a safe place to be even after the pandemic. But not something we budgeted for, and something that you, the listeners, can really help us out with by making a donation. Donations can be made to radiowaterloo.ca/give, and any amount is useful. You know, if you make a donation of $5 or $10, that goes towards putting up, you know, maybe the fan or maybe installing the plug. Make a donation of $25, and that gives you a membership as well. Radio station membership is $25, and that gets you a host your own show deal as well. I really like to see the donation level being made at $102.7, $102.70. You know, 102.7 is our frequency. So if you can make a donation for $102, that would be absolutely wonderful. But any amount is useful. $102, you know, $51.35 is good. Do that twice a year and you're at 102.7. But, you know, $5, $10, or $25 for a membership is great, too. RadioWaterloo.ca/give. Help keep community radio alive. Help keep CKMS on the air. Help open the studio again so programmers can come in, and it'd be far more comfortable to have you in the CKMS studio than to try and manipulate three or four different screens and two computers. And this is just not an ideal studio setup. I miss being in the CKMS studios. Anything to add to that, Jeff? Host Your Own Show was an initiative that that you started.
Yeah, thanks, Bob. You covered everything, but yeah, I'll mention Host Your Own Show. So for you folks out there that said, you know what, I'd just really love to have my own just to see what it's like. So we have a special deal, and if you send us $25, we will have a show on your behalf, and you will be the main person, and somebody will be there to help you with the tech stuff. And we'll play the music you want. We'll talk about the stuff you want. And you will have the pleasure of having your own show. Say you did in the recording. And if you had a lot of fun, it'd be just great. You became a programmer at our station as well. Yeah. So if you want to have a great gift for your birthday or want to give away a great gift, you can give a friend the opportunity to go on the air and do their own one-time show.
Yeah. And, you know, if you like it, you know, sign up for Start Your Own Show and you know, join us on the regular schedule. That'd be even more fun.
Yeah.
Any ideas for the Soviet influence to have their own radio show, Peter?
I mean, that sounds great. I'm just thinking that you guys are talking about this. I'm like, we should maybe do a show. Yeah, no, yeah, absolutely.
I think you've got a wide range of things to talk about. You know, you've got the music, you've got the music production to talk about, and all the political, social justice stuff that you know is just rife through all the music that you've been making. So lots to talk
about.
Absolutely. And that's what community radio is good at, because that's not the kind of thing you hear on mainstream radio at all.
No.
Yeah.
And I you guys have been great to us. I just want to say that while you're doing this pitch. I mean, CKMS has been wonderful to us. So, I mean, we're going to obviously donate some money, but, you know, support, you know, we've been, we're we'll be pushing you guys out on our social media to be like, hey, support these guys, because Seeking Mess has been great to us. So we're big fans.
Yeah. And we're big fans of the Soviet influence. So there you go. It's join the station, have some fun, and it's called community radio because it's radio that broadcasts to the community. But it's the radio station itself is a community among itself. You know, we're all doing the same sort of thing. We may have completely different interests. You know, you might have people who are promoting veganism, for example. You might have other people who are promoting hip-hop music. We've got one of the longest running hip-hop shows on CKMS, for example. Street Hop on Thursday nights at 10 o'clock with DJ Carmelo. Just such a wide variety of stuff, and that's the community within the radio station that you're becoming a part of. So,
yeah.
Is there the same sort of community that exists amongst musicians? I mean, there's a musicians union, but that sounds a little bit formal. Do you see the same people at different shows? Back when there were shows?
Oh, yeah.
You're traveling around?
Totally, yeah. I think what happens, right, is you build, like, a little bit of a scene community around you. One thing the pandemic has been great for is, like, I think, people are a lot more, like, friendly and helpful with each other because none of us know what to do. We're all sort of, like, how do we get through this? So there's been... There's a Discord. So Discord's an online thing,
mm-hmm.
Started by this group called Save Toronto Music Venues, and their whole thing is like all these venues in Toronto are basically going out of business because they have no income.
Yeah.
But it's really cool in there because there's like a whole community of Toronto musicians and Toronto GTA musicians and things like that are on there and just sort of sharing ideas and working together and trying to do stuff. So the pandemic's been really good for us getting to get closer to some of the bands that we already sort of know or didn't know that well. And our work, like our kind of work where we're doing all this political stuff has been really helpful in terms of building bridges with bands because a lot of people want to get involved in this kind of stuff. So we've been able to make really good connections both in Ontario and across Canada with other bands that are like-minded. And so I think it's there. I mean, there is some competitiveness, I guess. We try not to be competitive. Like we don't think of it that way. But I know some people do, but mostly we just try to be, you know, we try to help each other out and build the best musical community. So I think, yeah, it's definitely there.
But no sort of formal organization of social justice bands or
there isn't.
No?
That's a good idea. I've actually never really thought about creating something. There's nothing I know of. I mean, there might be that I've never heard of, but yeah. I'm not going to say there isn't, but nothing we know of. So that's actually a really good idea, and I feel like maybe we should do something with that. So yeah. I'm going to steal that idea from you, Bob, and I'm going to go and try to make that happen. Yeah, no, I actually really like that idea. It's actually really great.
What
so.
Picasso said, you know, good artists create and great artists steal.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can take that. So I'll do it.
Okay, time for another musical break, I think. What else have you got in your repertoire that I might be able to play for you?
Yeah, what would be a good song to play? Well, we talked about it or Not Tonight. Could you play that? Because I love that song.
Not Tonight. Yep, that's put that on there. Came from Socialism and Introduction as well.
Yep.
Any background to that?
Yeah, like I said, it's basically just about, looking for support and help and how we can really just be there for each other. I think people sometimes think you have to be an expert. But you don't really just got to listen and care.
Okay. It's a repeat because we've already been through this, but, you know, by request. Oh, Not Tonight from the Soviet Influence, from Socialism and Introduction.
Thank you.
Oh, Knots Tonight, a repeat presentation on CKMS Community Connections. My name is Bob Jonkman. I've got Peter Snow in the studio, Peter Snow from the Soviet Influence, and Jeff Steger from the Agriculture Show. Good morning, everybody. You have said that this is something that you've actually had played on commercial radio.
Yeah. It's, some people, a couple of radio stations were like, hey, we want to play a song of yours, which was cool. Kind of not surprising is the wrong word, but unexpected, I think, is the right word. Like, we don't have like a formal like, agent or anything. So, like, any success we have is just through our own sort of hustle and good luck.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, there's a lot of
how it is right now.
A lot of Canadian music out there because we have our Dropbox office at radiowaterloo.ca. So if any bands are out there who want their music played on CKMS, you know, send us a line at office at radiowaterloo.ca. The backlog is immense because there is a lot of music out there. So I've got something like 1,200 messages in my inbox. And, you know, maybe 50 or 60 CanCon requests, Canadian content requests by Canadian artists that I will definitely get on the air. So if you've submitted something to office at radiowaterloo.ca, I will get to you eventually. But sometimes I've been as much as a year behind in that. Soviet Influence, however, is right on the top of the charts here. You know, two plays in 1 hour.
Killing it. I said this earlier. We love the community radio. Community radio is so important.
Yeah.
It's so different.
Yeah.
It's great.
You're right. It's different every hour. You know, after CKMS Community Connections is done, starting at noon, we've got the Can Queer program done by Luke Smith from the NCRA, the National Campus Radio Organization. So, variety is the name of the game here. You said you had something coming up. If you just want to quickly cover what you're doing in the next as Jeff says, in the next 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years,
2 hours, 2 days. What are you doing next 2 hours, Peter?
Well, the next 2 hours, I'm going to have lunch. And then, yeah, that's the main thing I got going on. I'm going to have some lunch.
In 2 days?
And in 2 days, I got work to do, I guess. Work, real work, life work. Oh, yeah. No. But in the next couple of months, we'll go 2 months, we've got, we should have a new song coming out, like I was saying, in the UK and around the world. That's just getting put together right now. I'm not sure when that's going to come out. There's no timeline yet. And then really importantly, in August, we're part of a compilation recording for the Toronto Prisoner Rights Project. And there's going to be a live stream event to coincide with Prisoner Justice Day, which is a national event. And there'll be a bunch of cool bands, Canadian, all Canadian bands, that are going to participate in that. It should be really great and really interesting. And if you don't know a lot about sort of prisoner justice and prisoner rights and the prison abolition movement and all those things, we're also going to have a chance there to learn a little bit about it and get some knowledge that you might not otherwise get. So I think that's...
I didn't know prison abolition was a thing until about 2 years ago. I had Senator Kim Pate on the show learned that there is a movement to get rid of prisons because prisons aren't doing the thing that they are intended to do. You know, there's no rehabilitation there. This is punishment and retribution, pure and simple. So that's not a humane thing to do. Prisons aren't working.
No, it's not a good system.
No. All right. Going to end off with something from the new album called Guns of Brixton. Tell me about Guns of Brixton. How did you come across that?
Yeah, it's a Clash song. I've been a Clash fan for a long time in my life, having discovered them when I was younger, as you do. There's a really great live version of Guns of Brixton that I've always been a huge fan of. And it's a song that doesn't get covered a lot because it's sort of lesser known than, like, you know, London Calling or Rock the Casbah, the more famous Clash songs. And it's about sort of government violence. The members of the Clash lived in London in the 70s, which was a, you know, there was a lot of stuff going on, class warfare sort of stuff going on then, in the UK, and in really difficult times, and they saw firsthand the sort of violence the state could enact on people, and that's how I've always interpreted that song, so it really fit in well with what we're talking about.
When they kick at your front door, how you gonna go? With your hands behind your head or on the trigger of your gun?
You've been listening to CKMS Community Connections. My name is Bob Jonkman. Jeff Steger and I have been speaking with Peter Snow of the Soviet Influence on Monday, May the 10th, 2021. CKMS Community Connections is a production of Radio Waterloo, sponsored by Radio Waterloo. Executive producer is Jennifer Strong. Other associate producers are Dylan Bravener and Jordan Dorans. CKMS Community Connections is heard every Monday from 11 o'clock till noon and on Saturdays from 1 till 2 p.m.
Feels good, and your life you like it well. But surely your time will come, as in heaven, as in hell. You see, he feels like Ivan, born under the Brixton sun. His game is called surviving. At the end of the harder they come. You can crush us, you can bruise us, but you'll have to answer too. Oh, the guns of Brixton. You can crush us, you can bruise us. You'll have to answer too. Oh, the guns of Brixton. When they kick at your front door, how you gonna go? With your hands behind your head or on the trigger of your gun? You can crush us!